Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading selections from the News Gazette for Wednesday, October 8, 2025. And from the front page, the first article is Strides plans brief closure to spray for bed bugs, and the article is written by Jana Wieseman. Champagne. A local homeless shelter will close for several hours someday soon to deal with a possible presence of bed bugs. Staff at Strides reported on Saturday that bed bugs had been found on a guest, said City of Champaign Township Supervisor Kyle Patterson. They didn't find any other ones, he said, and then they also reported that they saw one roach. So neither of the issues seemed to be widespread. Administration then helped staff execute bed bug protocols, which include washing all bedding on high heat and spraying all beds as well as spraying the general area where the bugs were found. We have also hired an exterminator to do a thorough spraying of the entire building, and we are waiting for the temperature to go to a safe level to allow us to close the whole shelter for several hours so the exterminator can perform their tasks. Patterson said on Tuesday, I expect us to close sometime this week. And the article is then continued on page A10. When asked what he meant in regards to temperature, Patterson explained that the shelter is waiting to close on a mild day so that guests who don't have somewhere else to go will be safe outdoors. As for how long the shelter will be closed, he believes the estimate he was given was 6 hours. Patterson said that such issues occur on occasion, though he added that there haven't been any recent incidents with bugs. It kind of goes with the population that we work with, spending a lot of time outside, he said. But yeah, since I've been here, we've never had a serious problem. It's just been, I think, maybe two, counting this incident, one other incident where it was found on one person. According to Patterson, an exterminator visits the shelter every month. Additionally, staff clean every day and professional cleaners come in 3 times a week. Sarah Michaels, Environmental Health Director for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, said that her department does not license or inspect Strides as guests make their own food. We also have no authority re bed bugs, added Public Health Administrator Julie Pride. At this time, they are not known to carry any diseases, although they certainly are a menace and difficult to get rid of. Orkin, an Atlanta-based pest control company, ranked Champaign 9th in its 2025 Top 50 Bed Bug Cities list in June. The rankings are based on data from metro areas where the business performed the most bed bug treatments from May 15, 2024 to May 14, 2025. Champaign has moved up the list in recent years. It was 15th in 2021, 13th in 2022, 11th in 2023, and 10th in 2024. Chicago topped the list for the 5th year in a row in 2025, while Peoria was ranked 33rd. And the next article from the front page is Virginia Theatre. Repair project reveals hidden piece of history, and was written by Luke Taylor. Champaign. When Virginia Theatre staff decided it was time to replace some mirrors, they weren't expecting their decision would lead to a hidden piece of history. Several small mirror pieces that combine together into an installation upstairs at the theatre have been damaged through the years. Original to the building, they've had plenty of time to accumulate scratches or break. As an operations employee took them down in preparation for repairs, he was surprised to find a signature gracing the wall behind them. He came down to the office and said, Does A.W. Stuhlman ring a bell? Said Mitch Marlowe, Virginia Theatre's operations manager. And then the article is then continued onto page A10. It certainly did. A.W. Stuhlman directed the construction of the theatre in 1921, even naming it after his daughter, Virginia. He managed it as well for several years before going on to become a representative agent for Illini legend Red Grange. Stillman also served as contractor for area local buildings like the Art Theatre and the Sigma Alpha Epsilon Fraternity House. A.W. Stillman's name is also featured on the cornerstone of the Virginia Theatre, but finding his signature was a surprise. Marlowe said that staff wondered if there could be a time capsule hidden behind it, but a city employee took a look at building plans and determined there wasn't space. The mirrors that are in the process of being replaced were custom to the building and must be individually recreated. The originals have been sent off to Van Buskirk Glass to be traced, and Marlowe said the new versions should look just like the originals. And the next article is also from the front page, and it's from Urbana City Council. Concerns raised on grant for fire radios, written by Jana Wersiman. Urbana. City Council members have tabled a federal grant agreement that might require the city to comply with federal immigration enforcement policies and refrain from implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. The council previously had been set to discuss a resolution to accept an approximately $70,000 assistance to firefighters grant from FEMA during Monday's committee meeting. However, Alderman Mary Alice Wu made a motion to remove the item from the night's agenda, and the council agreed unanimously. "I had some questions about what the city would be committing to by accepting the grant," she told the News Gazette. "I had hoped to be able to consult with the city attorney. However, he was out ill yesterday, and I made a motion to remove the item from the agenda. The resolution may or may not come back to City Council, depending on legal review." City Clerk Darcy Sandifer said she expects the item to appear on a future agenda. According to a report by Urbana Fire Department Administrator Teresa Hoffman, the department has been awarded $67,814.54 with which to buy 800 megahertz portable radios. The article is then continued onto page A10. Acceptance of the grant requires a City Council resolution acknowledging the city's obligation to contribute 10% of the awarded funds, she said. This would require the City of Urbana to contribute $6,781.46 to the AFG award, totaling $74,596. Among other things, the Articles of Agreement include a section on communication and cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security and immigration officials, which includes requirements such as not restricting information sharing of an individual's citizenship or immigration status, complying with prohibitions on encouraging illegal immigration and harbouring, concealing or shielding from detection illegal aliens, honouring requests for cooperation, not publicising the existence of an immigration enforcement operation. Furthermore, an article on anti-discrimination states that grant recipients must not operate any programs that advance or promote DEI, DEIA, or discriminatory equity ideology in violation of federal anti-discrimination laws. However, another article of the agreement states, notwithstanding their inclusion in this award package, the following agreement articles do not apply to this grant award. 1. Communication and cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security and immigration officials. 2. Paragraph 2A3 of anti-discrimination. Paragraph 2A3 forbids grant recipients from operating any program that benefits illegal immigrants or incentivizes illegal immigration. During the time for council input at the end of Monday's committee meeting, Alderman Grace Wilkin expressed concern about the federal invasion of Chicago. She added that she's heard from local community members who want to know what's next if Urbana is the next target, and how do we prepare locally? Wilken, who shares these concerns, requested that next week's agenda include a discussion item on creating an executive order, similar to what's been done in Chicago, on how the city would handle a potential federal invasion. She also requested continued discussion on a proposed ordinance regulating the use of surveillance technology by city departments. Alderman Jaya Colasetti seconded the motion. "My heart just goes out to everyone in Chicago right now," she said. And also from the front page, there is a large photo which has the title of "Rack 'em Up Tight." And the caption reads, "A game room is just one of several amenities at The Connection, a new social centre that connects Clark Lindsay's original main building to a new three-storey apartment building with units for independent living. The Connection and select first-floor apartments will be on display during an open house from 4 to 5:30pm today." And the photo was courtesy of Robin Schultz. And moving along in today's reading of the News Gazette, from page A2, top of the morning, "Something to get you going today," courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. "On Wednesdays, we'll introduce the students who make up Year 10 of High School Confidential, powered by Danville Area Community College. Today, Villa Grove's Eva Piercy. She plans on studying animal science in college and working a veterinary clinic after graduation. That might explain why Eva has 7 indoor cats at home. Growing up, I've always loved being around animals and nurturing them," she said. "Whether that meant fostering stray kittens until they were old enough to find a home or rescuing wild bunnies that were separated from their mother. I'm not sure where the love exactly began, but caring for animals is all I've ever known. Writing for us is part of a hectic schedule that includes golf, dance, cheer, student council, yearbook, Spanish club and students with a testimony, SWAT. It can be a lot, but over time I have grown used to it, and as long as I keep focused, I get it all done," she said. Eva began dancing in 6th grade and was a member of the school's IDTA state title winning team in 2024. "It was known for being the dream team, and I made many unforgettable memories along with unbreakable friendships," she said. Another Villa Grove staple, the 11th year Fight Like a Blue Devil fundraiser against breast cancer, culminates with a pep assembly and football game Friday. Eva will have happy details in next week's High School Confidential. "The best part about being Villa Grove's reporter is getting to share all of our school spirit, fun activities, positive actions done by students or teachers, and other exciting events to surrounding communities," she said. And also with corrections. The News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and clarifications for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217 351 5252, then press 6 to reach the newsroom. And in history on this day, in 1925, a total of 48 families were cared for by the Family Welfare Association during the month of September, according to the monthly report given by the association. 30 families of which were carried over from last month and 12 new cases for this month, showing a marked decrease in the needy. And in 1975, college students attempting to procure food stamps to supplement their income may now find this next to impossible. Under provisions passed by Congress in 1974, any student 18 years old or over who is declared by his or her parents as a tax dependent and whose parents are ineligible to receive food stamps may not receive food stamps. And in 2010, Fatino Espana and Nayeli Cruz have a site for their wedding reception after all, after the Urbana Fire Department shut down the Hanford Inn and Suites in Urbana and evacuated the motel's guests due to smoke alarm violations. area businessman Martin Fuentes made available one of his facilities, Tequila's Banquet Hall in Urbana. And in International History Today, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire began. More than 300 people died and more than 17,000 structures were destroyed during the three-day blaze. And on this date in 1956, Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series as the New York Yankees beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 5, 2-0. And in 2005, a magnitude 7.6 earthquake on the Pakistan-India border killed an estimated 86,000 people. I'll now include from page A5 from our communities, and the first article is Rantoul Police. High schooler injured in crash involving Rantoul school bus, and it's written by Luke Taylor. Rantoul. One student was taken to the hospital with minor injuries after a Rantoul Township high school bus was involved in a crash shortly after 2 p.m. Tuesday. The Rantoul Police Department was dispatched to the intersection of Champagne Avenue and Century Boulevard at 2:06 p.m. for a report of a motor vehicle accident involving a high school bus. Upon arrival, officers learned that the bus had collided with a Toyota sedan at the intersection. 18 students were on the bus at the time. After the initial collision, the bus went over the curb and into the parking lot of a nearby business, where it collided with an unoccupied Tesla sedan. The Rantoul Fire Department and Arrow Ambulance also responded to the scene and transported one student to the hospital for what are currently believed to be minor injuries. No other students reported injuries, but all were evaluated by medical personnel. The driver of the Toyota, 22-year-old Brandon Ruiz Garcia of Loda, was issued a citation for failing to yield. He was treated for injuries and released on scene. And from page A8, Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. Westville teacher charged with grooming and released pre-trial, and it's written by Yana Wieseman. Westville. A high school teacher is facing charges related to an allegation that she sent explicit materials to one of her students. Kaylee Broadway, 27, was arrested and charged with grooming and distribution of harmful materials to a minor, said Captain Michael Hartshorn, chief investigator with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. She was arraigned at the Vermilion County Courthouse on Tuesday and is out on pre-trial release. The Westville Police Department received a report on September 8 that Broadway, a math and science teacher at Westville High School, had allegedly sent nude photos and videos of herself to one of her students on social media. WPD asked the Sheriff's Department to look into the case. After getting search warrants for the social media platform and analysing multiple electronic devices, investigators uncovered several explicit photos and videos, sexual in nature, that supported the accusations against Broadway, Hartshorn said. Anyone with additional information is asked to contact the Investigation Division at Sheriff's Department by calling 217-442-4080. And moving on to page A10, the article is written by Luke Taylor and it's Urbana Police, suspect in custody after shooting puts Urbana schools on lockdown. Urbana. A 21-year-old woman has been hospitalised in serious condition after a Tuesday afternoon shooting that led to Urbana High School, Urbana Middle School and the district's 6th grade centre being placed on lockdown. Urbana police responded to the 900 block of South Vine Street at around 1:55 p.m. for a report of a shooting. On scene, they found the woman suffering from a gunshot wound. Nearby schools were placed on lockdown as a precaution while the scene was secured and the initial investigation moved forward. Police identified the suspect as the victim's boyfriend, 21-year-old Noah Allen of Urbana. He was taken into custody and arrested on preliminary charges of aggravated domestic battery, attempted first-degree murder, and unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. "We do not believe this was a random act of violence," said Urbana Deputy Police Chief Zachary Mikulik. Investigators believe the shooting was a domestic incident and say there is no ongoing threat to the public. Urbana Police thanked community members for quickly reporting the incident and highlighted that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And also in today's reading of the News Gazette, I'll include the weather report from page A10. And today, Wednesday, there'll be a high of 70 degrees. It'll be sunny, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, and overnight it'll be clear, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunrise at 6:57 a.m. and sunset 6:23 p.m. And on Thursday, there'll be a high of 69 degrees and a low of 41 degrees, and it'll be sunny and east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And overnight, it'll be clear with east winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunrise will be at 6:58 a.m. and sunset 6:22 p.m. And Friday, there'll be a high of 72 degrees with a low of 39 degrees, and it'll be sunny. Sunrise will be at 6:59 a.m. and sunset at 6:20 p.m. And Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy. There'll be a high of 77 degrees with a low of 50 degrees. And sunrise will be at 7 a.m. and sunset at 6:19 p.m. And on Sunday, it'll be sunny. There'll be a high of 79 degrees with a low of 51 degrees. And sunrise will be at 7:01 a.m. and sunset at 6:17 p.m. I'll now also include an interesting article from page A8, and it is International Lineman's Rodeo, Aiming High. And it's written by Jennifer Bailey, Tilton. Three Danville-based Ameren, Illinois apprentice linemen think they've got what it takes to compete with the best of the best in the International Lineman's Rodeo next weekend in Overland Park, Kansas. Zach Fox of Oakwood, Devin Richards of Westville and Jacob Wetter of Humboldt, all from the Danville Operating Centre on Georgetown Road, will be among 400 electrical linemen taking part in competitions ranging from a speed pole climb, a hurt man rescue, mystery events and a written test. For the pole climb, competitors must ascend as quickly as they can while holding a bag in their mouth, swap the bag with one at the pole's top, remove a raw egg from the bag and descend with the egg in their mouth without breaking it. "You have to be fast and smooth on that one," Wetter said. Richards said it's pretty gross if the egg cracks. Linemen are the folks who work atop power lines, installing new ones and restoring electrical service when storms cause outages. According to event organisers, the Lineman's Rodeo attracts the best linemen from around the world to compete in events based on traditional lineman tasks and skills. The first Lineman's Rodeo was held in September 1984 with 12 participating teams from Kansas and Missouri around the area. The rodeo has grown to over 300 teams and 450 apprentices. Ameren, Illinois is sending 21 linemen, 6 apprentices and 10 judges and committee members to the rodeo. The rodeo also gives co-workers' families the opportunity to see firsthand the skills that make these men and women vital to people's everyday lives, according to Ameren, Illinois officials. Teams these days come from across the U.S., as well as Canada, Jamaica, and other countries, and even the U.S. military branches send representatives. "It's a very technical competition," Wetter said. All three Danville participants are in the final stretch of their three-year apprenticeships, to finish in January and March, after which they will become journeymen. Wetter said the job runs in the family. "My grandpa's a lineman, my dad was, he's a supervisor now, and then my brother is too," he said. Fox, on the other hand, said he was drawn to do the job by his desire to work in a trade outdoors. Richard said he was drawn to this career after being a tree trimmer in high school and then just seeing the linemen work, do all the cool stuff, and use all the heavy equipment. This will be the first official rodeo competition, though all three qualified for it through an internal Ameren, Illinois, May selection round. He said, "It's wild when you get to the rodeo grounds with thousands of poles and all the people with the competitors and their families." He estimates that about 95% of the Danville Operating Centre's linemen have competed previously. And with this article, there are two photos. And from the left, apprentice linemen Zach Fox, Devon Richards and Jacob Wetter will be participating in the 2025 International Linemen's Rodeo next week in Kansas. And the photo on the right, Wetter practices climbing down a pole Tuesday behind the Ameren, Illinois Danville Operating Centre on Georgetown Road. And those photos were courtesy of Jennifer Bailey from the News Gazette. And also from page A8. Just have a baby, planning to get married, celebrating an anniversary, about to turn 100. We'd love to hear about it and tell your story on this page and online. To get started, visit newsgazette.com and click on Forms, or send an email to milestones@newsgazette.com, and there is an announcement for a new name, Roman Wade Benz. Natalie Wilson and Jeffrey Benz have named their son Roman Wades Benz. He was born at 3:08 p.m. September 30, 2025, at Gibson Area Hospital, Gibson City. He weighed 7 pounds, 14 ounces. His father works at Premier Cooperative in Ellis, and his mother works at Volunteer Services and Watseka. His grandparents are Mark Wilson of Gilman, Nicole Moranzoni of Beggs, Oklahoma, and Stephen and Beverly Benz of Onaga. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. I'll take a short break and return with the second half of today's reading of the News Gazette for Wednesday, October 8, 2025. Read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.